Greet you all this morning in the worthy name of Jesus. Thank you all this morning for the inspiration. Just the thought of gathering together to worship is an inspiration. I hope it can inspire each of us this morning. I admit that this morning I didn't feel very inspired, and I just hope that you pray that you would pray the Lord that He would send some inspiration into my heart as well as into your heart. That song that Lyndon led out, hymn 44, it said there at the end, "Holy, holy, holy to the great three in one. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, holy, holy to the great three in one." All three. And that's my message this morning about. Title of the message is Life of Holiness. And we'll turn to, first of all, to Peter, 1 Peter 1. It seemed like as I looked into this thought of holiness, and the more I looked into the thought of holiness, it seemed to become more of a Bible study than a message this morning. So bear with me, but that's what we want to look at. Holy, holy, holy. And we look at 1 Peter 1:14, 15, and 16. And he says here, Peter says, "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts of your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy." And he says in verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves. In other words, he's calling us to a change. When we're crying, holy, 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 he's calling for a change within us. But he says in verse 15, "But as he that hath called you, God, is holy, so be ye holy." And this is more than I can work out on my own. This is more than we can work out on our own. But I was impressed this morning with the idea that it's called to the great three in one. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are all to be in our vision as holy, 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 holy. Because this is what we're called to be, holy as God is holy. 1 Thessalonians 4:7 says, "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness, unto a changed life." And what got me into thinking about this holiness was, I preached recently about the I Am, the great God, the great I Am, the message I preached a few weeks ago, and God in His awesomeness. And then the message before that was about that God might dwell in us. And I was thinking about these two scenarios where see the great I Am, and we see that this God that wants to dwell within us, and what should be the product that comes out of this. Finally, the product that comes out of this great I Am that wants to dwell in us should be holiness. Turn to Revelations 4. And what's amazing to me is this holiness that he's calling us to is to be like us unto him. And I'm sure we're not going to get it all right this morning, but finally that what God is calling us to is to look like the great three in one, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. He wants us to be holy as he is holy. Let's look here at Revelations 4. And look at verse 1, 2. For after this, John says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. The first voice which I heard was, as it were, a trumpet talking with me, and which said, come up hither, and I will shew thee things which must be hereafter. And I immediately was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Skip over to verse 8. And the four beasts, that each of them had six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And then we skip down to verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor and glory and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure are they, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And John looked, and he heard, and he saw the Spirit, and beheld, and he was crying, Lord, holy, holy, holy. And if we see in verse 11, he said, he gives us the reason for thou, O Lord, to receive honor, glory, and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. All that is and all that was and all that ever will be is that God might be pronounced holy. That includes me, you, and I believe, beloved, this cry needs to be ours. It needs to be our cry right from the very heart. Let's look at Matthew 5:48. The New Testament. Matthew 5:48. Be ye therefore perfect. Jesus is saying here, be ye therefore, he's talking to his disciples. I believe now he's talking here at the Sermon on the Mount. He says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. He's calling us to perfectness. We back up to 46. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans and sinners the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? But he's calling to something beyond this love. He's beyond this saluting your brother. He's calling us to praising God and honoring God, the Trinity, as holy, holy, holy. And this needs to be our cry. This needs to be our life. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians. There's a few words. Actually, I skipped one I wanted to look at. Let's turn over to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. And Brother Lorne was at Isaiah chapter 6 the other morning, last Sunday. But it's, to me, such a beautiful picture. We'll look at the first 8 verses. Let's look at. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. Above it stood seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, and the whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongues from off the altar, and he said on, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Who shall I send? And who shall go for us? And then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go. And I believe one of the first things that when we see the Lord, it says, Isaiah saw the Lord. And I believe that when we finally see the Lord, and see him for who he is, then he can bring coals off the altar. He can cleanse our lips. He can make a way. In verse 6 and 7, it takes about a way for the iniquity to be taken away from us. And when that iniquity is finally taken away, we can see the earth full of his glory. The earth becomes a different picture to us. When finally the iniquity is taken out of our life, and we can see the earth as his holy, holy, holy. He says, Here am I, I'm of unclean lips, I am of iniquity. Put his coals upon my lips, and but I believe in verse 1, the beginning of the journey of holiness. And I say the journey of holiness because I believe holiness is a journey. We don't become like us unto God, holy, as unto the Trinity, holy. But we seek to become like God. And it will be a journey. Holiness is not a destiny, it's a journey. Finally, we're going to be in this journey to become like God. And it needs to reflect out of our lives. It needs to show forth that who we are. We need to show forth in our life where we are in this journey toward holiness. It cannot be hidden. We need to go. We need to go forth on this journey. Let's look over to 2 Corinthians. A couple word thoughts I wanted to gather in 2 Corinthians. Paul writes here in 2 Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dear beloved, let us cleanse ourselves, bring us to action. Let's just cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. In other words, he's saying we need to do something. We need to prepare ourselves. We need to clean out the evil, whatever. He says, cleanse ourselves. He doesn't say that we call on God to cleanse us. Paul's saying here, we need to put some effort into cleansing ourselves. We're called to accountability, to clean ourselves, get ready to present ourselves as holy before God. Back up to verse 16. And Paul says here, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out. And he says, wherefore, come out from among them. He says, if you're going to be a different people, then you're going to come out. You're going to act different. You're going to look different. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, or I will be a teacher unto you. But first you're going to have to come out, and you're going to have to separate yourself from the evil around you. I'll be your father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Come out, be separate. Touch not, he says in verse 17, touch not the unclean thing. If you back up to verse 15, he says, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? If God is going to accept our praise of holy, 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 which he deserves, we're going to need to separate ourselves out from verses 15 says with idols, separate ourselves out with unclean from uncleanness. And we need to become part of another kingdom. A separated out kingdom. Let's turn back again to Matthew. Matthew 5. In the Sermon on the Mount there, Matthew 5:14-15 and 16, he says, ye are light, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men put a light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it may give light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Holiness here, Matthew's trying to tell us that holiness is a lifestyle. It's not something that we perform. It's a lifestyle. It's a changed situation. It's a life of holiness. Because if we choose to do it, we're going to come up short. It has to be a part of our life. Says holiness is warm. Holiness is an action. Holiness is an expression. Verse 16, he says, oh, your good works, they will glorify God, your Father in heaven. Verse 16 says, and that your good works may glorify your Father which is in heaven. Romans 8:13 says, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Paul is saying here in Romans that if holiness is going to happen here in my heart, then the flesh needs to die. The journey from holiness, the journey from selfishness to holiness begins when I die, when self dies, and holiness shines forth. Let's turn to Acts. Acts chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. And it shall come to pass in the last days, and I believe we're in the last days. I don't think that there's any dispute. And it shall come to pass in the last days, God saith, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see vision, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I believe what the writer here is saying, that if the spirit of holiness, and he says here that in the last days God shall pour out that spirit of holiness, he shall pour it upon his people. And if his people have received the spirit of holiness, then they will cry out to God, holy, holy, holy. And there will be action coming out of our hearts. Let's turn back a little further to Hebrews. Hebrews 12, 12. Hebrews 12, 12. He says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather that it may be healed. And as I read this, I was wondering there when Aaron and Hur, we know the story, when Aaron and Hur, they went on the mountain, they were having this battle, and they lifted up Moses' arms there so that the battle against Amalek, I believe it was, could prevail. And I had to wonder if Moses had to call. Did he call for Aaron and Hur to lift up his arms? Or did Aaron and Hur notice the need and lift up Moses in Hur's arms? And it doesn't tell us. I went back to look and it doesn't tell us. But I'm wondering, in this idea of holy, 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 to serve the Lord God Almighty, if Aaron and Hur didn't come up and lift up Moses' arms because they noticed the need that was happening. Our God, Creator, said he wants us to be a part of this reverence, in this honor, in this holiness that he is. He wants to be us, to be like us unto him, a desire to be like God. And if we have a desire to be like God, then we'll be lifting up everyone else's arms and helping to praise God. In verse 14, he says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. To follow, verse 14 says, to follow peace. In other words, draw onto, make an effort onto. Follow is the direction of travel. Follow peace, make an effort unto peace. And then he says, make an effort unto holiness. Hebrews 10, 22. Paul says here, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And in other words, he's saying, prepare yourself. Prepare yourself that you can draw nigh to God. Get in a situation where you can draw nigh to God. You need to be washed. Be baptized, sealed through the blood of Jesus Christ, sanctified and cleansed, but holiness is ongoing from there. We can be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We can be baptized, prepared for the eternal kingdom. But holiness, honoring God, is a work that goes on beyond that. It's a work that we need to do to honor and glorify and praise God. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another and provoke one another to love and good works. Love, we need each other. We need each other to encourage each other, provoke. To provoke means to stimulate. And the stimulation that I see here this morning is that when we gather together to worship the Holy God, that we encourage each other through Christ Jesus. We see others that worship and are faithful worshipers, and we're encouraged and we're provoked, we're stimulated to successfully continue in worship. Verse 25, he says, exhort. Verse 25 says, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of us is, but exhort one another. Exhort is to strongly encourage. Strongly encourage to live a life of righteousness and holiness. Provoke and exhort, Paul is saying. The provoking and exhorting that Paul's talking about is not just what I'm saying here across the pulpit or what Lauren and I speak across the pulpit, but it's each one exhorting and encouraging each other by exhorting, by it's such an encouragement when we can come together and we can see that other brethren and sisters are walking in holiness. The very appearance of holiness. Wife and I went out to the rock show on Friday. I don't know if you've ever been to the Deming Rock Show. 60 years of Deming Rock Show. So I went to the rock show and I wanted to see what was at the rock show. What do you think was at the rock show? Rocks. Of course. Rocks everywhere. Everybody had rocks. Because it was the rock club. The rock club was having a rock show. What about this morning? Do we have a holiness club here? And I'm thinking that's what Paul's talking about, the exhorting, getting together. And finally, my question here is, my burden here this morning is the Sunshine Church, is it a holiness show? Is it truly flowing forth holiness coming out of each life? When we go to the rock show, we expect to see rocks. When we come to church at Sunshine, are we expecting to see holiness? First Corinthians 3, 16 and 17 says in 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. If God is in you, holiness will be your direction of travel. Holiness will change your life. It'll be a part of who you are. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians 1, verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that ye should be holy and without blame before him in love. In other words, he's saying here, holiness is a choice, that we might be holy. We choose holiness. Ephesians 4:20. But ye have not so learned Christ, for if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. In other words, he's saying there's going to be a change in your life. If you're going to live unto holiness, if you're going to acknowledge God as holy, then there's going to be a putting off of your former conversation, your former actions, and you'll be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which is after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, to put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, as we are members one of another. So my question is, he says in verse 25, it's wherefore putting away lying, speak everyone truth with his other. For the verse before, he says, we are members one of another. Oh, it says, for we are members one of another. So the question I have this morning, are we a member of this holiness club? The holiness club. Oh, we don't normally use the word holiness club, but finally, club means a group of like-minded people that are together, that are working together. Are we a part of this holiness club that's honoring, glorifying God? Do we look like we're part of? The other thing that happens a lot of times when you have clubs or organizations, we have people that are required to wear uniforms, or they dress a certain way, or so if you're part of the holiness club, if you're part of the holiness group, what should we be looking like? Do we have a set standard of? And I'll let you decipher. Think about that. If you're part of this holiness group that's praying holy, holy, holy to this God, great God Almighty, then will we look like a part of that group? 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians 4. Now let's start First Thessalonians 3:11. He says, now God himself, our Father, God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do together toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. He's saying not uncleanness, but holiness. And in verse 80, and then let's back up here to 4:7. For God hath not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. For therefore, he therefore that despises not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. He therefore that despises, in other words, he that despises God, he that doesn't honor and hold and call God holy, despises not man, but he despises God, who hath given us his Holy Spirit. The God that gave us this Spirit, we despise him, he will despise us. Holiness, one of the definitions I found of holiness is a state of being set apart, sacred or consecrated to God, following the example of Jesus Christ. Let's look at one more scripture. Let's turn and look at Romans 6. Romans 6, starting at verse 19. Paul says here, I speak after the manner of men, because in the infirmities of the flesh, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. In other words, he's saying there needs to be a change. We need to clean out unrighteousness of the flesh and turn unto righteousness. For when we were servants of sin, we were free from righteousness. What fruit hath ye then in what fruit had ye then in those things wherefore ye now are ashamed? For the end of those things is death. For the end of unrighteousness, he's saying, is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's start again at verse 21. What fruit had ye then in those things, whereas ye now are ashamed? For the end of those things is death. The end of unrighteousness, the end of all this selfishness or seeking of self-glory and honor is death. The end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness. Finally, when we turn to God, we can start growing fruit unto holiness. And he says the journey, we talked about the journey of holiness ends in everlasting life. Isn't that what we're all seeking for? The journey of holiness finally ends in everlasting life. That's the end we're looking for. But he says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. We cannot do it except by the will and the grace of God, of Jesus Christ. Only by Jesus Christ can we attain unto this holiness, where we can cry, holy, holy. And that's the cry that needs to flow out of our life. This holy, holy, thou art God to the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It needs to flow out of our life, and it needs to be a part of our very being if we're going to attain unto this eternal life. Let's pray.